This is Maria Mattarelli, and you're listening to the Agile Uprising Podcast.
Hello, and welcome to another edition of the Agile Uprising Podcast. I'm Brad Stokes, and with me today is Maria Mattarelli. Maria, tell us something about yourself.
Thanks, Brad. My background has been in Agile, and I actually started off with working with teams and have moved to training. I'm a certified Scrum trainer, also co-founder of the Agile Marketing Academy, and applying Agile outside of IT and looking at ways to do that. So over the last several years, I've been traveling around the world, all the way over in Shanghai, Singapore, Thailand, India, throughout the US, and helping companies discover better ways to work. So by doing this through coaching and training and just working with different companies, it's interesting to see the challenges that a lot of people and companies are facing are sometimes pretty similar. But another thing that's interesting is even looking at Agile applied outside of work altogether can be applied to your life. And that's what I'd like to tell you a lot more about with personal agility, on how it can be so incredible applied in many different ways.
Fantastic. Now, Maria, we're going to talk about personal agility today. Now, tell us a little bit about personal agility. What is it?
Yeah, personal agility, it's a simple framework for doing more of what matters. As we look at all of the things that we have going on in our lives, many of us are very busy every day, all the time. And we get caught up doing all of the things. And when you can stop and take a step back and reflect on what really matters, you might notice that we don't need to do everything, because if we try to do everything, then the things that really matter usually fall through the cracks. So it's a simple framework for getting back to the basics of what really is important.
Now, I personally, I'm a GTD user. I know there are many out in our listening audience who will do something like personal Kanban. Personal agility is... sounds like a step beyond that from what I've seen. Is that right?
Yeah. You know, there's different mechanisms or systems for how to get things accomplished, or, you know, making sure you have the flow. But a lot of the other mechanisms out there don't necessarily look at the bigger why of why are you doing those things? What is it that really matters to you? And are you in alignment with that? So we go one step further and look at how can we look at the bigger picture? And across everything you're doing, from work to your personal life to your goals or achievements, what are the things that really are most important to you? And we want to make sure that we have those highlighted and track those things. So aligning with that bigger purpose and bigger why is something that, you know, with the holistic view of your life, goes one step further than just trying to accomplish more stuff.
Okay. So it's really foundational then to personal agility to understand... would it be wrong to say the vision statement for your life, the vision for your life, and life is a holistic approach, a totality rather than just the one little thing?
Yeah. I mean, when you look at the way most of us approach every day, we've got so many things going on. We have technology at our fingertips, right? Everything seems to be speeding up, access to anything at any time. And, you know, if everything matters, then nothing matters. So if you can take a step back and really understand the top 3 to 4 things that matter. And we recommend limiting this to 4 things maximum, because once you start getting too many things going on, you might get an inch of progress in each area, but nothing a mile deep. And then you've got too much going on in progress. And we all know how that usually goes, right? Not a lot completed. So yeah, it really is looking at, you know, what's that bigger reason or purpose. And we've seen some common things that seem to keep coming up for people as far as the categories that emerge on those top 3 to 4 things that matter.
Okay. So what are those categories? That sounds interesting.
Yeah. So I've done some market research, have talked to quite a few people this year. I've also been working with Peter Stevens, who is an Agile trainer from Switzerland. And he and I have been working on, we're currently writing a book on personal agility, and we co-founded the Personal Agility Institute. And one of the things that he's found and that I've found is that when you ask people these questions, there seem to be these common answers. So one of the things that it comes back to is looking at maybe something that's career focused. So in your job, or if you have a business, that's usually something that might sort of rise to the top. It's usually if people have a family, having something, you know, their family matters or their children, their relationship, and having health, we've seen come up several times. And then sometimes if there's a fourth thing, it might be a hobby or something of personal interest that rises to the top. So over the last couple of years, these seem to be some pretty recurring themes that people tend to say.
So how do we get into the mindset that we're sitting down, we're trying to look at this sort of stuff? How do we actually hone in on what matters? Because there's a lot of noise out there. Like you said, there's so much going on. There's the Instagram feed ticking off every 3 seconds. If you're not Snapchat's dead, but you know, the Instagram's going and Facebook's going and social media's calling and Twitter's raving and there's noise and movement and all this sort of thing all over the place. And it looks like it's all super urgent. Like you said, not necessarily important, but super urgent and super present.
Yeah.
What's the first step to actually sitting down and saying, okay, what matters to me? Is it a chance? Is it a matter of sitting down, or is there a way that you actually suggest to approach this?
Yeah, you know, that's a good question, because sometimes we've actually seen that some people have a little bit of a challenge just sitting down and starting with what does matter, because there are so many things going on and it might be confusing at first. And so one way to approach that is, I mean, you could brainstorm what you think matters, or start by looking at the breadcrumb trail, what we call looking back at where are the things you have been doing. So let's take last week. Let's start with yesterday. Let's look over the last month. What are some of the things you've been doing and areas you've been spending your time? And if you look at that as a breadcrumb trail, that can provide some clues as to what apparently seems to matter, right? So what have you been spending your time on? And then at that point, you can make a conscious decision to say, is that what you want to matter? So is that just something that your actions have indicated? Or is that something that you're like, oh, wow, that's not really what I want to be spending my time doing? Like, for example, maybe if you're working all the time and maybe not spending as much time with your family, it's like, wow, I'm spending a lot of time at work and then doing other like volunteer work outside of work that I'm not even getting paid for. Is that what I really want to be doing with my time? So that can be a pretty nice way to get started, to start to look at where have you been spending your time? And then asking the question, is that where you want to be spending it?
Interesting. The other one that just occurs to me is look at where your finances are going as well.
Yeah.
Because if you're putting money into something, that's showing that you value that thing regardless. And if your money is going on junk food, well, maybe your focus is on junk food and it's or not taking care of yourself on just the quick, easy fixes.
Yeah.
Is that another possibility?
That's an excellent point, because it's like voting, right? You're voting with your dollars as to what you value in your life in a way. So I had a friend that posted online the other day. He's at a gas station and some guy came up to him and said, hey man, do you have some, you know, a few dollars for gas? I just ran out of gas, my girl and I. And he looks over and he's like, you know, I don't have any cash on me. He's like, oh, well, do you have a credit card? Which I think sounds pretty bold to ask a stranger and expect them to just pay for your gas, right? Like that. And he looked over and he said, you know, I see that you guys are both smoking cigarettes. She's holding a Red Bull and there's something else. He's like, it looks like you could have spent that money on the gas that you needed rather than buying cigarettes and drinks. And the guy got really mad. And I mean, maybe there's a question there on, was that too harsh? Was that something that maybe could have been, you know, that wasn't as kind of him to say. But then again, in reality, you know, people, you look at people that are having trouble paying their bills, but they're buying an expensive car, they're buying like a brand new pair of shoes that comes out, or a new iPhone. And, you know, how are they able to allocate the funds to that, but can't cover their basic needs? So yeah, if you look at what matters to you, where are you spending your time? But you could also look at where are your dollars going?
And I can see that if you're doing that, you can be looking $1 million, but you've got so much stress coming back the other way as well. So you're feeling like you're pressured. You're feeling like, I don't understand. I'm under so much stress. I've got so much money pressures, but it's that lack of ability to identify what your focus actually is and what your value actually is, isn't it? So when we come at this, a person needs to be ready.
Yeah. And you know, a lot of times people will feel overwhelmed, but it's sometimes when we're doing too much, but we're not doing the right things. So one of the things that personal agility helps with is it helps make visible what you're doing, we talked about the breadcrumb trail. We also have the forces map, which it looks at what are the greater forces in your life that are the things that you said were important, and what could be some of the things that you would do in those areas. And as we know with Agile, if you can visualize something, we can then set ourselves up to make a better decision on it. And I actually just finished a recognized practitioner call. Peter and I have been working with people and training them and going, you know, working with a workshop on how to apply personal agility. And after people have applied this approach for a minimum of a month, sometimes longer, we'll actually do a coaching call to see what they've found in their experience of using it in real practice. And a lot of the feedback that we've been getting is that people are saying that sometimes they're getting more done, but sometimes they're not sure if they're getting more done, but they are feeling better about what they're getting done. They're not feeling as overwhelmed about the stuff that is on their plate. So it's interesting, I think, to see what the effect is of what people are starting to experience. And I think that, you know, with all the busyness that we have in what we know as life today, when you can sort of shut down or tune down that noise and really start to get back to looking at, well, wait a minute, what are the things that are important? And if I can narrow that focus down and spend my time there, could that be a better use, not just of your time, but to feel better about the things that you're able to do?
I can see some similarities between other systems, like GTD talks about mind like water, for instance. But I'm just going to cycle back. Now, you mentioned a forces map. Sounds like a really intriguing thing. Like, I've played with empathy maps and user maps and all sorts of different maps. A forces map, what's a force? How do you map it?
Yes, great question. So when we look at what are those things that we said that mattered, you could either back into them by looking at what are the things that you've done, or you might sort of know. You might kind of know what are the things that you want to spend your time on, that you value spending your time on. So as we look at those things, it's good to keep that as sort of that North Star or guiding light. So these are the top 3 to 4 things that you said that really matter. And thinking of it sort of like a product backlog in a sense, you know, if this is what's important to you, what are some of the larger chunks of things that you could accomplish that would support that? And what's interesting is I've heard a lot of people talk about things for their family. Like, when you think about family, these are people that of course we care about and of course we love, right? Like, these are people that, you know, they make up a big part of your life. So you're going to be considerate. You want to do nice things for them, right? Like, that's sort of like a given and understanding. But a lot of times we get busy and get bogged down that we miss the little things. And so when you start to think about, well, what could I do that, you know, once or twice a week to actively make sure that my wife knows that I'm there for her, my kids know that I appreciate them and that I'm here and supportive of them. What are those actual things that I could do? Just to start to brainstorm those larger chunks of things, of either work or actions or things that you could do, having that on a clear map. So, you know, picture a different column for each of these categories. Then as you're getting ready to plan what it is that you want to do for that week, we have the priorities map. Now, the priorities map takes the top 3 to 4 things that really matter, and you can actually color code these, which gets really cool when you start to look at the next couple of columns. And so, you know, think of a task board, but we've got different headers because you know what matters, but then you've got, here's what could I do, just things that you're speculating you might consider. And then the next column is what's urgent. So these are things where something bad might happen if you don't do them. And then, you know, it has a deadline or something that's definitely something you need to keep track of. Then we look at those items and we triage, well, what do you want to plan for the next week? And then as you look at what you can do in the week, we want to be realistic about that because you've got only so much time in that limited time box. And then as we finish out the week, we can then celebrate what we've accomplished and choose what to do for the next week. So the forces map is kind of like that North Star that you can keep going back to and making sure that you're in alignment. Because as we color code the things that really matter, you can glance at a board and you can see, oh, wow, I can clearly see where my time's been going or what's been neglected. And then having that visibility, making sure we have that alignment, or seeing if we don't have that alignment, gives us the opportunity to say, is that really something that matters to me? If so, would I like to do anything about that? Or if not, is that okay?
It's very much about the mindfulness piece of the game, isn't it?
Yes. Yeah. Yep. Having that visibility and really being able to step back, because too often I think that we just don't, right? We don't even have the time to breathe to consider that.
Yeah, I know exactly what it's like. I remember when I first came to Agile, I'd been working in the traditional sequential development model for 15, 20 years. And I remember that first moment where I could actually step. And I remember saying to my partner at the time, I can breathe. I can breathe. And it sounds like this personal agility is actually taking that I can breathe moment and giving you that for your everyday life. Is that close?
Yep. In fact, from the different people that I've had the coaching calls with that have become recognized practitioners, the things that I've heard, people are saying, I mentioned they're feeling better about what they're getting done, but also they're feeling that they have better relationships with the people around them, with their spouse, with their family. They're feeling that there is more alignment. People are even starting to apply this at work, where they're starting to see that they can create this alignment in their organization. So just using the basic principles of it. So it's really incredible to see that it's something that can be scalable, and it's something that can be used in whatever parameters you define for your life. So it's kind of like you call it, right? Like you call what's important. And I think that that's something that we miss. And one of my most favorite metaphors for this is if you think about if we're in a movie, right? So, I mean, even think about the Truman Show or the Matrix, right? Like where there's like this other alternate universe or reality that was going on, but people weren't really aware of it. Like, so are you just going through life as an actor in this movie script and you're just like reading the lines that you think you're supposed to? Where you go into work every day, you go to the kids' soccer game, go home and make dinner, and then you rinse and repeat for the next day. And is that just like a role that you're playing where you're just kind of rinsing and repeating? Or are you actually someone who wrote the script? Or are you a director? And can you make the call of what it is that you want in your life? And I used to be in more of the actor role, thinking, oh, this is just what life is supposed to be, right? I get this job and then I go to this job every day and that's it. And I found myself wondering, is there anything more to life than sitting in this desk job in this office? And over the years, it took little by little, step by step, and I started to realize that I could actually define more of my reality than I even thought. And some people ask me, they say, Maria, how are you able to create this business that you have where you travel the world and you do all these amazing things? And I think about it and I'm like, well, I actually applied Agile to my life. But what's interesting about personal agility is that rather than just applying Agile to visualize the work, have a task board and try to do more stuff faster, which is what ultimately ends up kind of being the goal, whether you mean to or not, right? It's not just about doing more stuff, because I found that a little bit empty and not fulfilling. And even once I left my desk job, started traveling the world for free, getting paid to do it, and going to all these exotic locations, speaking at conferences, launched an international consulting company, like all my dreams started coming true, right? After a lot of hard work, I was like, wow, that's actually not that fulfilling, because it's just one thing after the next. And now that I've done this event, what's next? Another event? And what I found with the personal agility is I actually feel more fulfilled and I felt happier than I felt in a long time.
Hmm. There's an intentionality about it. Like it's not a, for want of a better word, life and happenstance is falling at your feet. You're doing the work, you're pushing through, you're getting things done, but it's not the same as being very intentional about your next step. Because that's what it's sounding like to me.
Yes.
It is an intentionality.
And what's interesting about that, I was just speaking with someone today from Basel, Switzerland, who had just gone through applying personal agility, I believe it was over the last year, and we were on a recognized practitioner call, and he said that he felt like the real key was the advantage to personal agility in a nutshell to him was consciousness, to be more conscious of the things that he did. And then he also said that it wasn't just like trying to apply productivity to your life, because that almost can feel like an obligation or a never-ending quest of I must be more efficient, I must be more efficient. So it's light enough to not be overbearing, yet also creates awareness enough to invite that consciousness of what it is that you're doing.
Okay. The other thing I see here is it gives you a chance to get a vision for what you're actually doing. One of the things I do with teams, and one of the things I really like with teams, is when a team has a real vision of where they're going and why they're going. Now, I think it's important for any high-performing team to understand what their vision is. It sounds like when you transfer that into the personal world and you have a vision of where you want to be, a vision of what you want to get to, that just steps it up as well. How does a person start to develop that for themselves? Like they're starting to look at the areas that matter to them, because of course there's things that you want to do and you've got them to sit down and map these forces out on their life. How do they start to actually do that forecasting, creating the backlog that they're going to work towards of the things that matter to them in a given week?
Yeah, well, there's a couple of things here. So as you're creating your priorities map, you know, you may start with the breadcrumb trail and you may just go straight for the done column. What are the things that you did last week? What are the things that you're doing this week? So let's start to get some momentum, because even if the things that you're doing aren't the things you thought you were going to do, it's still something to celebrate of what you achieved. Because we want to be kind to ourselves. That's an underlying premise of being kind to yourself throughout this process. But if you're just starting, you might just start by listing things that you've done. And that can provide that breadcrumb trail to kind of look forward and say, is that trail going to continue in the future if you change nothing? Or do you want to do something different? Now, we also recommend having a coach, a personal agility coach. And the coach is there to ask powerful questions, to help sometimes even play devil's advocate and say, oh, well, is this what you want to do? Are you sure? Or I noticed you have nothing that aligns with the top item that you said that matters. Is that how you would like your board to look this week, right? So having that coach often can really help to provide some accountability, but also ask those insightful and powerful questions. So as you're getting started, having someone to kind of bounce those ideas off of can help. I met with a friend of mine who owns a business. So this is about a year and a half ago, and is in Chicago. And he was asking me some business advice. And we started talking about some of these concepts. And as we were looking back at, you know, what did you do last week? And is this a typical week for you? Let's multiply that over the last month. Would this be pretty accurate? And it even gets back to the dollars questions, right? So I said, well, what of all these activities that you did last week are bringing in revenue for your business? And he looked at what we wrote down, and I looked at what we wrote down, and you know, a few minutes later, we realized there was nothing there that led to revenue coming in for the business. And pretty soon it became pretty obvious where the challenge was. Getting caught up in all this busy work and things that didn't truly bring in ultimate revenue. Well, if that spend all of your effort, all of your energy on that, and it's not the right actions, well, we can see that when we start to visualize it, right? So would we like to change anything for the next week? And would you like to do something, anything that might potentially, you know, lead to revenue? Oh, okay, cool. Well, that sounds like that would be great. So, you know, I think one of the good questions is, do you want to stay on the same path or do you want to change that path? And a metaphor that we use for this is life is an ocean. So let's say we set off on a cruise line and we left out of New Orleans and we're heading to Jamaica. And that's a pretty good stop. But after we land at Jamaica, do we want to keep heading on that path? Or if our next stop was supposed to be Cayman Islands, we might have to do something different. So our goals might be in slightly different areas in life, because like if one's a work goal, one's a health goal, one's a family goal, you know, you have to do different things in different areas of life in order to achieve those things. But if you stay on the same path, on the Jamaica path, and keep going straight forward, you know, from following the breadcrumb trail and projecting that into the future, you might miss out on the family goal because that's over here to the left. You might miss out on the health goal because that's over there to the right. And we're still on the work goal, right? So if you start to think about life as this metaphor of the ocean, you know, you might get blown off course you might get stuck on, you know, in one direction. You might lose sight of where you are at. But the most important thing is to recognize when you lose sight of where you're at and then look at getting back on track. And so that's what the coach is there to help provide support at. And really just ask those questions every week and say, hey, is this what you wanted? Do you feel good about what you did last week? Or is there something you'd like to do more of this week? So just by getting started with that, and then there's also looking at, well, why are you doing personal agility? And that can be very powerful to write down those reasons. Because for me, it was, I realized that, you know, I wasn't having the fulfillment that I had hoped. So I found that, you know, my health was very challenged, was one of my challenges. I was running myself ragged with all the things I was doing. My life felt unmanageable because it just felt like a lot of stuff all the time and sometimes overwhelming, you know, trying to lead an international consulting business and, you know, being at the center of a lot of things, looking to scale, but maybe not having let go of enough things. And then one of the biggest challenges for me and the saddest was I found amazing experiences unfulfilling. So while traveling to some of the most amazing, beautiful parts of the world, I realized that, you know, with my health being so challenged, I couldn't actually enjoy it. So when I look back at, you know, why am I doing this in the first place? And I use that to kind of have a reminder of what really matters and why the things that matter do matter. It's all there as a check and balance to help you stay in control of what you really want to define in your life.
Now, you've mentioned a few times the coaching aspect of it. Is having that accountability part of it, or is it having that second set of eyes? Because we use coaches with adult teams all the time, and the coach is there to sometimes mentor, sometimes guide, sometimes just to be a balance against what's happening within the team and just an outside check that things are happening. How does a personal coach work within personal agility?
Yeah, so this is really someone that really that is available to meet with you once a week to connect, review your board with you. And so when you look at this person, could be a friend, it could be, I've talked to several people who it's been their husband or wife. And when Peter first asked his wife to be his coach, you know, it might feel like dangerous territory, right? It could be precarious on, you know, is that the right person? Are they too close to the situation? But he said it actually worked and they felt more aligned and they felt closer because they understood what mattered and they understood, you know, why certain things were important to each other. And I've heard that from other people as well. And the people that I've talked to that have applied personal agility have been across the world, from Germany to Switzerland, Italy to Vancouver, Canada, India, throughout the United States, Vietnam. People all around the world are all having success in using this approach. And one of the things I've noticed, I've held some personal coaching calls with people as well. And if people don't have the coach, there sometimes is a tendency to get stuck. And not having that person to bounce the ideas off of, that can be a challenge. So I've noticed that when the coach is absent, that seems to be a pattern for when people are feeling stuck, although they still feel the benefit of getting things done and feeling better about what they're getting done. But the coach seems to be a fairly powerful concept because having that person there, just as you said, you know, they're there to bounce ideas off of, to provide accountability, but also sometimes even playing that devil's advocate and just asking you, hey, this is what you said that matters, but you're not really doing it. Or is this what you want to be? You know, is this what you, you know, is this what you want? I mean, because if so, then, you know, hands off, go for it. But you said you wanted to do more stuff for your family, but I don't see anything for your family and plan for this week. Is there a reason for that? Right? And just asking insightful questions, asking open-ended questions, you know, helping you to think about the bigger picture and even consider new possibilities of what could be. Because sometimes we might get super hyper focused where we're saying, well, it has to be black or white. Well, wait a minute, have you considered other possibilities?
I'm just rattling around the ideas here. Your coach doesn't need to be somebody that actually understands fully personal agility, although I can imagine that a conversation about what you're trying to achieve, what it's doing, and then getting them some ideas on how their personal agility works would help a great deal. Now, one of the things that we do when we visualize, part of the reason we visualize work is if you can see it, you can fix it. But the other one is stimulate conversations. If you're doing this with a spouse as your coach and you have that level of trust, communication is one of those areas in personal life, especially relationships, that is the most often cited reason for relationship breakdown. I can imagine that something like this, where you can be very transparent and be honest about what you're doing, could be massively powerful in a given relationship. Is that a wrong?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, no. You see, it's powerful because it invites people to talk about things that otherwise might have gotten missed. And what I mean by that is, you know, even a simple example, something that seems like a small thing that could turn into something bigger, such as, hey, I need to borrow the car. I have to go out and do this client visit on Thursday, versus, oh, I didn't know that. And then at the last minute, there's only one car and, you know, she wants to do this, he wants to do that. You know, even the smallest things can cause a conflict that can snowball into larger conflict. So that's just a small example, but having that weekly touch point, that sync, is something that can help us, you know, two spouses to be on the same page. And that's one of the biggest things that personal agility does, is helps to create alignment. Now, you made the comment of the coach. It does help for the coach to know personal agility and the basic mechanisms of the framework in order to help provide that accountability. But really, the power is in them being able to ask the powerful questions, right? So being able to be that reflection, that mirror, as a good coach would be, to be able to just, you know, validate, hey, is this what you really wanted? And if not, is there anything you want to do about that? Or if not, you know, let's just make that conscious decision and consider maybe doing it different next time.
Hmm. Is it possible to have more than one coach? I'm just thinking something like a work situation. If you, for instance, in highly technical sort of work, or you've got that bit where you really need the separation between work and home, would it be possible to have coaching on different streams, provided the visibility was there across the streams?
Yeah, I think so. I've actually had a couple of different coaches over the last year and a half. So at different times, I had more access to different people that it seemed like someone could provide better insight at that time, right? And I started by just sharing, hey, here's my goals. Here's what I'm trying to do more of and less of. And here's what really matters to me. And here's my board. And, you know, inviting their insight and inviting their perspective as we're going for that weekly celebrate and choose. So I've actually had a couple of different coaches, personal agility coaches, and that's been very valuable. For example, one of the people that I've been working with is Alistair Coburn, who's a very well-known agilist, was there when they wrote the Agile Manifesto and contributed to that. And one of the things that Alistair pointed out to me about a year and a half ago is that when I was showing him what was on my priorities map, he pointed out that there was nothing there that really led to joy. And of all the things that I said were important, and of all my goals and all the things that I talked about, he didn't hear anything about happiness or joy. And I kind of stepped back for a minute. I was like, what do you mean? And it didn't even occur to me. And my mind couldn't really figure out how to fit that onto my map. I'm like, well, what do you mean? And he's like, well, you talk about these achievements, but there's no measurement of, you know, are you happier? And is that, I mean, how do you know that's the right thing to do? And so I thought about that. And that's something that my other coach had never really thought of or brought up, right? Because my other coach is very analytical. So she was very good at asking questions, asking powerful questions of, well, what could you do? Or what could be a possibility? But she was also very focused on like output and goal oriented, right? So having a different coach actually brought in a different perspective. And that's one of the things that just having that seed planted in my mind has been something that I've been more conscious of. And I can actually say, and I was actually just talking about this earlier today and scrolling back through my messages on my phone, where I remember that I was making note of the moments that I felt complete joy and happiness and fulfillment. And there were four distinct moments over the last year where I was so overjoyed and elated that I couldn't not send a message about how happy I was at that moment and what the surrounding situation or circumstances were that led to that moment. And I realized that there was absolutely no moment like that in the previous 3 to 4 years that I could even think of. And so it might not sound like a lot to have 3 to 4 moments. Those are just the ones that I felt so compelled that I had to do a whole text feed about, right? But it was like so compelling of these moments where I realized that I hadn't even considered happiness as a thing. And so that's something that I got insight in through the second person I had talked to as a coach or in that coaching capacity that probably wouldn't have come up had I not. So I think that it can be beneficial. And each situation may be unique, right? So if you have somebody that might be providing insight for one of the things that matter at work for your job or career, could be somebody different that provides insight for things that are outside of work. And I've also sought out certain experts for the things that matter to me. So one of the things that matters to me on my number one is health and fitness, because I had very severe health challenges a few years ago. Probably because I was so focused on work that I completely neglected my health and passed through over 80 cities in a year. Surely there's no health concern with that. And you're looking at, wow, I need to bring in a specialist in this area. So I hired a health coach. And so it's interesting because when you use personal agility and you realize what does matter and you're honest with yourself about what matters and what you're doing, and whether that aligns or doesn't align, that's when you start to see the bigger picture. And you start to have realizations that you didn't have before. So when I had my personal agility coach kind of look over everything, I actually hired a specialist of a health coach because I said, you know what? I have not been able to get to the level of health that I've been wanting to over the last couple of years on my own. I've made some progress, but not much. And so if I'm really serious about this, maybe I should actually act like I'm serious and bring in somebody that can really hold me accountable when that's their own specialty. So I've actually experimented with hiring a niche coach and having a couple of different coaches overall. And it's been completely beneficial because I'm getting that expertise and I'm getting new insights that I've ever had before.
Hmm.
A funny example, I was just talking to a friend about this the other day, was In previous locations where I've lived, I've actually hired a professional organizer before. Now, I don't know if many people know that this is a real thing, but there is a person out there. Usually if you just Google it online, you can find someone in your area that is a professional organizer. And so these are people that will come into your home and they will help you organize stuff. Like if you've got, maybe you're in your basement, you've got a bunch of storage stuff, or you've got that closet that always is like the stockpile for loose ends. And I'd actually done some spring cleaning that particular year, and I felt like I was pretty organized. But being slightly OCD, I was like, you know what, I might be able to be even more organized. So even after I thought I was organized, I brought in a professional organizer to help me get even more organized. And like the most interesting things where she would look at something and say, how often do you get these things out of this bottom drawer here? I'd be like, oh, maybe twice a day. She's like, well, what if we put them up here at waist height where you could just reach for them and didn't have to bend over? And I'm like, mind blown, right? It never would have occurred to me. Because she would look at usability. She would look at storage solutions, things that I had never even thought to think of, right? And so when you think about wanting to get really good at something or being serious about what matters in your life, when you can bring in somebody that has that specialty, when you're aware that you're not quite where you want to be, they can help you get there much faster.
There's some really good messages in there. And I was actually just reflecting on what you were saying about bringing in specialists and how that can help with teams as well and help with our work life. But one of the things I like saying with people with work is bring your whole self. And it seems that personal agility is one of those ways that you can bring your whole self. When you're not worried about every little thing,
yes,
you can be very intentional about being there, but you don't just leave all that other stuff at the door. It becomes part of the map, the part of the completeness of who you are that shows up at the door.
Yes. And this is where I've found a lot of success applying Agile in my life, which is how I've been able to accomplish a lot of things. But by doing that, I lost sight of everything, right? So by going so far and being so agile in how I worked, I lost sight of health. I lost sight of my personal life. I lost sight of, relationships with friends and being around people that mattered rather than just throwing myself into work and ignoring you know, going out and meeting up with friends on the weekends or after work, and oh, social life, what? Mm. Right? So when you use Agile in and of itself, it can be very effective for accomplishing things. But when you use personal agility, it is that holistic view. And that's really where a lot of the power is in that holistic view.
Wow. That's fantastic. Now we're nearing the end of our time, and we'd like to give our guests a chance to share something upcoming, events or shout outs. Do you have anything coming up that you'd like to spruik? And is there any way our guests can get in contact with you?
Yeah, thank you. Well, I recently just got back to the States just about a day ago. I was doing a little international tour here for the year. So I was in Australia, Thailand, and Portugal just recently. So those are the big trips recently. Coming up, I'm sure there'll be more for next year. But one of the things I've decided is I wanted to make myself available to people to apply this concept, apply this approach, this simple framework, and actually interact with people online and work with them virtually rather than always having to be somewhere in person. So I'd like to invite anyone that's interested in applying personal agility, if you'd like to join me in going through an online program that I put together. It's at personalagilityportal.com. And personalagilityportal.com is a place where you can sign up. And there's currently a special going on where you can get a discount on joining the course. And I would love to work with people to apply and do more of what matters in their lives and find the fulfillment and find the joy like I've had in the things that they do. And for anyone wanting to connect with me, I'm Maria Mattarelli. If you can spell my name, you can find me online, but you can also go to findmaria.com and get a link to all of my social media from there at findmaria.com.
What a brilliant idea. Thank you again, Maria, and to you, our listening audience. If you enjoyed this episode, please give us a rating or review or leave a comment on iTunes, Stitcher, or your podcasting platform of choice. It really does help others find us. If this is your first time tuning in, why don't you subscribe? And if you'd like to join the discussion and share your personal stories of applying some personal agility to your own life, please join us on the coalition.agileuprising.com. Finally, support from listeners like you help us cover our hosting costs and our production costs. And you can see the show notes for more details on how you can become a Patreon. Until next time, this is Brad Stokes and the Agile Uprising signing out.